because it's something special promised for the end time people of God. Amen. We've come through and come through, and we brought it in last night about the wilderness. They had the promise for the land, and it was even told them what would be in the land, and they even received some of the fruit of that wonderful land of Canaan. Talking about the children of Israel, they came to it. Some of the spies went in there and brought back grapes, big bundles of grapes. It took two men to bring them out and said, it's a wonderful land, it's a great land, and this is what it's like over there. Joshua and Caleb. Amen. But the others spread unbelief among the people, and they returned to the wilderness for 40 years, and they came out again. But they knew what was in the land before they wandered in the wilderness. And while they were wandering in the wilderness, they knew there was a great land somewhere, and the promise of God was for them to get to that land. Hallelujah. So we've known and heard of a great land, and we're coming back into it now. God for Brother Hatfield. Thank God for the work here. And we just come here among you for these 3 days of campaigning for the Word of God. And we come submitted unto the pastors that we labor with. And we don't come and saying we know it all or anything like that. Or we can help you change this or that, the other. But we come representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will feed into that the things we need, and it'll be smooth, and it'll be something we can see God in. Amen. It's the one headship of the church, and that's Christ. Amen. And we're just we're all His servants, and God places us out, as Brother Billy was saying. Yeah, I believe if I've got the and the first part of the church service here, that the callings, each one have a calling, and we are to remain in the calling wherewith we're called, but we're to grow in that calling. Amen. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. And as we go along at this end time, we are coming, there's a promise, and it tells us exactly in the Word of God what's to be for the final move of God and for the final few years of the church being on earth. It has been that through the ages we've operated many times under survival message, doing what we could do to survive. But it was a reason for it, because the Word was sealed away. And it was sealed away, and not only was it sealed away, but it was in heaven, and it was in the hands of the Almighty, and wasn't readily available for us until the last days, until the seals were opened by the Lamb in heaven, sat down and revealed to the seven church age messengers by the seven angels that came and met him in Arizona, and he said each night one of them angels came and revealed what the seal was. And then once that took place, amen, then the book is in the hand of the mighty angel. But we have to get a authorizing voice from the Almighty in order for us to have the liberty to go to Christ and say unto him, give me the little book. Amen. The book is open, it's on earth, and the prophet came and brought a message, and he brought the one phase of that coming of this mighty thing that's before us. Because the Word says that the Lord himself will descend in heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the final stages of it all, the trump of God. And that's the time that there will be an authorizing voice that you can only hear in the Spirit if you're walking with God, desiring of God, the will of God for your life, and desiring from God that you would be willing, desiring God, saying, God, make me willing to to listen and hear what the Spirit is saying, what the voice of the Almighty is saying. Let me know that there's been an authorizing voice speak and say, go to the mighty angel and get the book. Say, amen. And that has to be right at the end time. And once the book is got taken, then we go back to the thing that Paul laid down and said would be here and give us the word and the message and gave us the formula for the ministry, first of all, for the perfecting of the saint, and then it spreads out through the body, and there's five ministering gifts for the ministry, and then there's nine gifts of the Spirit for the body, and then the fruits of the Spirit for all of us, you know, and the gifts. But God laid down a ministry before He took Paul off the scene. Paul spoke to the elders there at Ephesus, in Ephesians there, and he told them there, says, I've got to leave the scene. My race is over. It's finished. He said, but there's men among you now. As soon as I'm gone, will rise and draw disciples after themselves. And he spoke and made very clear that his time was over. And he went to Jerusalem and was taken to prison. But in 64 A.D., just before God allowed him to be taken off the scene permanently to his home in glory, he wrote us a book. It's called the Book of Ephesians. And in the fourth chapter of that book, he laid down a ministry that would be here at the time the church come to the fullness of the statue of the man Christ Jesus. He laid down there and told us about a ministry that would be on the scene and God would use at the time the church would get to the place where they would be no longer tossed to and fro and by every wind of doctrine and the slight of men. He told us about a ministry that would be on the scene at the time where we reached the full stage of the body of Christ and the members of the body begin to edify one another in love and we grow up into the full statue of the man Christ Jesus. It's laid down and left in the Word that when that time do come, then we would have in the written Word the pattern, the Word, the ministry that we wouldn't have to wander in the wilderness any longer and that we would know and we could lay out clearly before the people the clear roadmap that is laid down for us to follow for the final perfection. Because God's calling us to do something that He hadn't called on other people in other generations to do. He's calling on us to go deeper and further in the Word and actually possess that He has ordained for the church at the end time in order for her to be raptured away. Hallelujah. And the ministry is laid down in and is told about. Now, we come through the stages of the seal, the sealing of the book, the opening of the book, and God spoke in the days of John and authorized John to seal up the book and not to write it because it had to go through this long period of time. But now that period of time has ran its course. Just as it ran its course for the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. But remember, before they went into the wilderness, Moses has already given instruction about a land. And he even gave certain ones certain portion. And there was a man named Caleb that stood shoulder to shoulder with Joshua. And Moses promised him a mountain there. If he would, when you entered in the land, this mountain would be yours. So when they entered the land, taking the land, Caleb went to Joshua, which was the captain of the armies of Israel, and said to Joshua, says, give me now the mountain that the servant of the Lord Moses promised me. Amen. And Joshua, if you'll read the story on it, goes something on this order. There is giants in that mountain, Joshua. Caleb, and you're old, and there are giants in the mountain. And maybe you'd be happy to take a land down here in the valley or a land somewhere else that's already, that would be less trouble to take. And Joshua, as he spoke to Caleb there, Caleb, he had a different spirit. He says, let me worry about the giants. Just give me the mountain that the Lord God under Moses said I could have, and I'll take care of it. Amen. I'm saying that to say this. They had the knowledge of it even while they were wandering in the wilderness. Those who they knew there was a land somewhere that they were coming to. And we have the knowledge, even though we're not fully possessing it in the full sense of the word, but it's a like of faith, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you've got to know the promise for you before you can reach out and claim the promise. But it's laid down clearly, specifically, the ministry that God is using for the perfecting of the saints. Now, prior to this, they had different ways, and of course, through the church ages, there was one man for each age, you know. And God used the messenger, and others joined in. But they were coming to something. And somewhere or another, if we're at the end time, and I believe we can only push it back so far, because we can't keep pushing it back, pushing it back, pushing it back, because Israel's in the land and all the other promises are there, and now we've arrived. Hallelujah. And I'm here tonight to tell you, amen, that it's time to possess the land. It's time to claim what God's given us. Amen. And there is a commandment before we even start to possess the land. And it's recorded down there in the early stages of the book of Joshua when God spoke to Joshua about going over. He said, see that thou be very courageous. Be strong and be very courageous. The Lord's with thee. And just as soon as Joshua started to cross the land, he had to let the people know the Lord God has given us the land. And there's the land over there. And he's going to deliver all those seven nations of Canaanites and Hittites and all into our hand. He let the people know there was a promise and it's time to take the promise. And when they started to go across Jordan there, the first thing they saw was a man with a sword in his hand. And Joshua walked up and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, I am the captain of the Lord's host. Hallelujah. And in the name of the Lord, I'll go with you. And they had courage. They knew. And they didn't have to wonder. They didn't have to say, could this be real, or could this be right, or could it be the time? In the book of Nehemiah there, when God brought some of the children of Israel back to rebuild the temple that was torn down by Nebuchadnezzar in the wall, many of them began to build their own houses, began to do their own thing, and they began to say, it's not time to build a house of God. It's not time to build a house of God. But God had a voice among them and told them, it's time to build. Let's build. And as they began to build, there was a lot of critics because it was so small, just a few went back to build that huge wall in the temple. And some of them poked fun at it and said, whatever this feeble people build, if a fox run across the wall, it'll fall. Amen. Hallelujah. Send the foxes. We're going to keep on building. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that right? Glory to God. Amen. See, God has authorized something. There's a voice that has authorized something after the seal, after the church ages, after we pass through the sevens, after we get through the threes, after we get through the wilderness, then we cross from Revelation 10, 7 to 10:8, and we're in a new land. They're the voice, the voice of God, the same voice that spoke to John in 96 A.D. and told him, seal the book up, and told him, the same voice in 96 A.D. told about the thunders, about the seals and all that. Amen. And he said, in the days when the seventh angel sound, this mystery is going to be all cleared up. Hallelujah. And then alone, it's been the great calling out. Come out of her, my people. Come back to the Word. Come back to Jesus. Come back to the power of God. Get back to the original. There's been a great calling out, and here we are. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe we're more than able to possess the land. I believe that we're more than able to be that church, seeing eye to eye, all speaking the same thing, no division among us, every joint supplying what the other joint needs. Amen. And no longer tossed to and fro and carried about. I believe God, as He laid down in His Word the ministry that would be here when we did come back to the land. Amen. We picked that up, and God Himself activated by a great authorizing voice that shakes the earth. Hallelujah. There's been a great voice that has shook the earth. Amen. There's been a great thing happening in our day. I myself have been in the Congregation of Holiness for quite some time, years ago, and been in the Church of God years ago. And we did what we could, and God honored it. I'm not going to try to do something that's earth-shaking tonight. That's not my purpose. I just want to be a blessing to you if I can. And maybe lay a little scripture in that you can think on and get something that will be, that you'll say, hey, let's go with this, you know. And I want to read in Ephesians 4. See, Paul, he done said he had to be offered. He was in prison. He was fixing to go home. But the Lord God did Paul like He did Moses. Moses didn't take him over and possess the land, but He told him about it and gave him certain lands and so forth. And they went into the wilderness, and then they came back and got it. And so there's different ministries. One time Paul set bishop, deacons, and so on like that, and like that on down the line. He says, choose you out some men to be this. But when it comes to this ministry, as we get back, our choosing is neutralized because we have no say in it. Amen. Paul said, I was ordained apostle from my mother's womb. See, he was born to be that. You're born to be certain things. And then, therefore, there's no vote on it. Vote you in, vote you out, or anything like that. It's God had fingered you to do something, and that settles it. Hallelujah. And that makes you the best man for the job. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, I want to begin reading verse 11. Paul, he says, now when Christ sent it on high, He gave gifts, and I'm not going to cover it all because we've been over it so many times. But I want to pick up in verse 11. It tells about a ministry that Christ gave. It says, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Now that's five of them. And the verse above that said, give gifts unto men. So these here final perfecting stage of the women are excluded in the preaching part of it. Amen. In the final stages of it. Amen. Now don't nobody get upset. See, don't get upset about it. Because that's just the way it is. In the final stages of it, women are excluded in it. He zeroes it down to five offices. See? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he says, well, let me get that verse up there. They gave them to men. Let's see, where was that verse? It's verse 7. To every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gifts, wherefore He ascended on high, He led captive, and gave gifts unto men. See? Man face, the original that. It doesn't exclude females in this particular thing. But this is the only ministry that I know of And if you know of another and you can correct me, I stand being corrected. That the women are excluded. All any of the nine gifts, prophecy, interpretation, tongues, dancing in the Spirit, and all that, they can do it. Sang hymns unto the Lord. Amen. And these here fruits of the Spirit, they all for male and female together. But he isolates something because there's a job that requires decision making that has to be firm, that has to be where you got to know this is the way it is. See, now we've come through a lot of age where it could be this way, could be that way, could be this. This preacher preached that way and I like it pretty good, and this preacher this way and I like it pretty good. Well, he did have a scripture what he said. Well, that's true. But right in the end of the age, he brings us back to what Paul said would be. See, this is the only, and I can't overemphasize too much, this is the only time that we come to the place where we're no longer tossed to and fro. We all speak the same thing. We all see eye to eye. We edify one another. Amen. This is the only time right here at the end. So he laid the ministry down. When we get back home, here it is. Amen. We could have tore Ephesians 4 out and put it in our pockets through the church ages. Amen. But don't destroy it. Pull it out again when we get back in the homeland. Amen. Because that's what God's going to use. Hallelujah. And he used Paul just like he used Moses. Moses didn't take him over, but he told him what it would be. He gave Caleb that mountain, and Caleb said, Moses said this. I could have this mountain. They wandered in the wilderness 40 years, but when they got back, Moses' word was still good. Amen. He could have that mountain. He laid a ministry in here. This is what I'm going to use to perfect the saints. It wandered in the wilderness and they didn't have it. But when we did get back to the homeland, here it is. And he fulfills those offices by anointing men, placing them in there. Amen. And each office will basically identify itself. But watch, when we got back to the homeland, he said there will be gifts he's going to give the men. And when these come and they're setting the church, that's the time of perfection. It don't go into another age from here because we reach the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus, and we reach the fullness of Christ, and that's rapturing time. I mean, see, now let me read it here. All right. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Watch. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The body is basically in, pulled in, brought in, and being taught. All right, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch, till we all, now notice everyone that's in the body, all whose names are written in the book, Daniel said, they'll be delivered. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Oh my. Now, I'll tell you, folks, we know that haven't happened. We know that hadn't happened, don't we? Amen. But said, when this ministry comes, that's what's going to happen. When this time comes, when you get back in the homeland, this is what it's going to be. You will all come into the unity of the faith. And Paul spoke and said, I would that you all speak the same thing, have the same mind, and have the same judgment. Amen. And the love one for another. So we're back in the homeland. We're going to get that in Revelation. Till we all come into unity of faith, watch, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now watch. Unto a perfect man. Now that's Christ, the church. We become the perfect man Christ. In other words, what Christ was in His glory. That's what the church is going to be. Amen. And folks, we might as well let our faith soar high. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we can't do it just the normal way we usually do things. We can't do it usually laying out church when we want to, laying out and not praying and throwing gouges at one another every chance we get. Amen. I tell you, there are going to be some preachers that's calling. Now, Brother Sid, he might rebuke me for saying this, and if he does, it's all right. He said him and Carmel went to a Pizza Hut one night. This was way back 40 years ago. And so back before he got saved. But he knew he'd been around churches and all that, you know, and all that. Said all of a sudden, said he was about three sheets in the wind. That's what they call it. About as high as he could get and still walk. So he jumped up on the table and he started preaching, "You people's going to hell if you don't straighten up." And Karma, she made a beeline for the car. I don't know that fella. Amen. Well, sometimes we get drunk, got to get drunk on a different kind of wine, don't we? Amen. Praise God. I'm not going. I think he wanted me to come eat his place tomorrow. That may be all. Amen. But I don't know what it feels like to be drunk in the natural. I was drunk, about as drunk last night as I've ever been. Because I've never been drunk in the natural. And don't make me better than anybody else. I've never been to a dance hall in my life. I've never been to the bar in my life. Amen. It wasn't because I was so good, but I lived so far back in the mountains. Amen. So bashful, you know. Amen. But it's not that I was that good. I just didn't have opportunities, you know. Amen. Because of a sinner. But watch this here. We're coming back now. All these things are behind us. And we can't bring our mistakes across over into this. Because the same man that did that had a dream, I think, is very spiritual. I guess last week, Brother Sid said that we were all in a place and says we all was had a very red robe, dressed in white raiment. Had something like red. So I looked down on mine and said it looked like either grape juice or wine had been poured out on the slim the sleeve. So I just tucked and rubbed against it, it just fell off. And it was perfectly white. I'm telling you, there's going to be something fall off in this house. Amen. When this gospel get just right, it'll be like my mama used to make soap and put red devil eye in it. When we'd work at sawmills, we'd get old pine logs along the overalls. You know anything about this, brother. You're nodding your head there. And she would boil them clothes and put that red. If I got on my hand, it'd take skin off me. The soap was so strong. Made out of red devil eye and heart. I don't know. Some of you may. We were country folks now. I mean, we were back in the mountain. We didn't have anything like we got around here. But when they got through with that soap, it was, I mean, don't matter, it just laughed at pain rosin. It just laughed at stains that our soap won't get out today. Because she had a big black pot and boil in that water and take a stick and gouge it up and down for an hour or two. Amen. Then take a rub board and rub it with her hand. And she was tough. When she got through with them and rinsed them about four times, they was clean. Amen. So I'm telling you that God's Word is coming forth. And it says that He would cleanse us by the washing of the water of the Word. And He said there would be no spots or any wrinkles. And this Word will just cause them to fall off on them. Hallelujah. So I'm here to tell you we're back in the homeland. Amen. And somewhere or another, if not tonight, I don't know when it's going to be, but it can't be long. If it's not tonight, you've got somewhere to get in your spirituality, your mentality, that we're here where Paul talked about. We're at the time of perfection. We're at the time where the church come together. We're at the time where we realize we're one, we're part of one another, and we're not, you cut this little finger off and lay it over there on the floor, and it ain't, or big my thumb, it ain't going to do nothing. But hooked onto the body, it can. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's the ministry that Paul laid down and said, now you're going to get back to this land someday. And when you do, here it is. We're back. There had been an authorizing voice speaking from heaven saying, go get the little book now. Hallelujah. Amen. And we go and it's transported or transposed, whichever be the proper wording here, from the hand of Christ, the mighty angel, to the hand of the ministry. But not until the authorizing voice from heaven speaks. And it speaks to John, say, go get the little book. There's got to be that inward calling, that deep calling to the deep. David said, the deep calleth to the deep at the noise of thy waterspout. In other words, there's something spiritual moving you in a direction, moving you and letting you know, telling you to reach out more than you've reached out before. Amen. To look into the Word and open your spiritual eyes and look around and see if God is doing what He said He would do. Or are we just playing a game here and putting on some kind of facade or whatever you call, amen, and going through the motion of having church? Well, I think personally, I'm too near the end of being burnt out to have church just for the sake of having church. Preaching just for the sake of preaching. I believe it's time to just make every service count. Every time we come together, make it count. Time to look around and say, Lord, is this, are you doing what this says? Or have we been fooling ourselves? And it's a good possibility we've been fooling ourselves if we can't grab that faith and pull it on up. Like Joshua said, be very courageous. Amen. We've got to take the land. And the Bible says, even in the days of John, from the time John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven was preaching to every man, and they took it by force. Amen. Who was it saying about the devil sitting on your shoulder or something? Somebody testified. Amen. Well, sometimes he'll do that. And he'll say, well, who do you think he is? What do you think he is? Well, if we do that, then we'd be better off at home. Because we're not helping ourselves any. We're only building up something within us, the blocking off the real thing. Amen. And if it's not real, we're blocking off the real thing when it does come. And if this ain't the real thing, I'm telling you, we're bordering on it right now. And I say, if it ain't for the sake of your own, giving you your own personal freedom to decide for yourself. Amen. But I believe with all my heart that this is the day, this is the hour that the Lord's come to give us power to possess the land. And He laid right before our eyes a ministry that will absolutely cause us to take the land and be that the Word said we would be. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe that somebody said, well, old Paul, this, well, they said about Paul, look, weak. He's weak and he's this and he's that, you know. He's contemptible in his speech, you know. You know, and all like that. That was a thought. That's human. And that's a natural thing. But brother and sister, somewhere we've got to bring God in the arrangements. Is He doing something? And if it is, then personalities has to be what God's ordained and who God's ordained and how God ordained. Amen. We're here saying, Lord, we're here to hear what you have to say. They came together for the second Pentecost. On the first Pentecost, there was not a soul there on the day of Pentecost, but Jews. Amen. It was about 8 years later before the Gentiles ever got the Holy Ghost. Amen. They went everywhere preaching the gospel, but only to the Jews. Acts 11:19. It was only to the Jews, go to Samaria and all that. But then, here come God move on the scene. Peter, rise and kill and eat. God was fixing to open the door, make something up. Peter said, not so, Lord. I'm not eating any of those things. Moses said not to do it. We've come to a new day. Then he said, ride and kill. It happened three times. And finally, the Lord says, there's three men at the gate or two, whichever it might be the case, says, arise and go with them and watch this, doubting nothing. And Peter went and started preaching to a bunch of Gentiles. And while he preached, the Holy Ghost fell. And when the Holy Ghost fell on them, they talked with tongues. They prophesied. And it wasn't supposed to be interpreted. That was just the joy of a tongue. Hallelujah. In Acts 19, when they went over there, they talked in tongues and prophesied, and nobody interpreted. Hallelujah. Some tongues, just because you feel like talking in tongues. Times when it's to be interpreted, but usually, amen, God is such a great God to let us know everything gets so quiet you could almost hear a pin drop. Somebody speaking tongue, here come the interpreter. Now that's when God's giving out a message and to be interpreted. But if somebody, while I'm preaching, if you get excited and start talking in tongues a few words, amen, I'll say praise God. And sometimes I do it when I'm preaching. I'm not going to get through tonight. We're going to carry this over. I see you, I think, till tomorrow night. But look, that's what we're going to be over at the Glenville. Look, how many seeds, he said, when you get back to the land, there's going to be a minister. Prior to that, you got, Paul said, until then, since the church going into the wilderness, when you go around, he said if man want to be a bishop or something, or want to be a, he gave certain rules and said if they want to be a deacon, if they want to be a bishop and so on like that, he gave certain rules. It's a survival message. He said, but when you get back home, it's all laid in there. Go look for it. Who was it? Jeremiah. He bought land when the city was falling apart, Sam. He went, they said, what's wrong? Jeremiah lost his mind. He's over there. He's getting deeds and getting it sealed and getting the signature. He buried it in an earthly vessel. And they was run out of the land, took out the Nebuchadnezzar. When he went back, they went and dug up the earthly vessel. There he had the deed for his land. Now I'm telling you, there's a deed for the land been buried. Sealed up with seven seals. Kept in heaven. Hallelujah, brought back to earth, and God said, now go back to the message, go back to the ministry I said to begin with. Remember, this was about 64 A.D. He was, next year, he had cut off. No, they didn't get it, but he wrote it for us. He knew we were coming back. Oh, praise God. God knew we were coming back. He told us how the translation would be and all. He knew we were coming back in the land. We're here tonight. We're here. And these ministries are in the earth and they're among the bride. They're that apostolic ministry. They're that pastoral ministry. They're that teaching ministry. That can take and teach and but I tell you, if you take a teacher every night in this church, you can have 50, 75, or 150 people. If a teacher taught every night for a month, you know what you'd say? You'd say, get that deadhead out of here. Because that ain't the way it works. There's pastors, there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, but you take that event. That's the time that evangelist come in. I tell you, he liable to turn, jump up and click his heel together and holler and scream a time or two. But he'll have some word. Amen. He won't be a loose cannon. Amen. He'll be connected. He'll be speaking the same thing that the apostle, the pastor, and the teacher and all. There ain't going to be no deviation in the teaching of it. Amen. Because it's got to be eye to eye. Amen. How many say it's got to be eye to eye? He says here, till we all come into unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you can't get no more than that. The glass full. You can't fill it up. If you do anything when the glass full, it just spills out on the table. How many knows it? And he said, this minister laying here in the Word, when you get back, I'll have the ministry. He said, when you get back, I'll have the ministry back. It's here.
Amen. The people's here. The Holy Ghost's here. Jesus Christ is here. Amen. And you're here. Amen. There's a little knock on your door. What will you do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? He walks among us, you know. He brought us back to the homeland. And there's an authorizing voice says, go get it. And let's take this meeting here as a time of God authorizing voice. I believe most everybody feels something in their heart. This is a time. Sister Sturgill, I don't know why. I just feel I want to come to them meetings. Sister Dorothy took her vacation so she could come. Different one. There's something there. I believe there's something. Different one tell me. I believe this meeting's ordained of God. Even Brother Francis, I feel like it is. Brother Hebe, I feel like it is. Amen. I feel like the Lord's going to speak to us. Amen. Well, let's have our spiritual ears open in case He does. See, in case He does. But look, He said, when you get back to the homeland, get this ministry, you'll reach the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus under the leadership of the fivefold ministry. Amen. Now He's got us back here. Amen. He's opened the Word to us. He has the ministry here. Just what He said in the book of Ephesians here. Amen. There's qualified men to come to the forefront. If you'll read that, Joshua was the one kind of pointed the way across, but the priests carried that them on their shoulder, over their heart, that word of the those men, four men, carried that word over their heart, you know. In that ark. Amen. The people followed. But there was captains over the tribe and everybody working in unison. And they took the land. That's what I want. Now, how many say he's back to the homeland? When he said, now, when you get back, this is what you'll have. This is what's waiting on. And you know what it is? It's honey. It sure tastes good. But there's some bitterness in it when we have to start applying. Because they're the apostolic leadership. See, he said it would go all over the world to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and all that. Well, now God has opened the door. There's a possibility through the internet that these messages have millions of people around the world has access to. And tape's been going out for over 40 years, and there's never a moment of time where some of these tapes are not being played around the world. Amen. God said it would be all nation, kindred, and tongue. Now let me get the rest. Now notice, we reached the fullness of the stature. He said when you come back to this ministry, you'd reach the fullness. And you can't get no further than that. And then he said, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the Word says you'll be no longer children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. If somebody's so scared they'll be deceived, it means they don't know what they're doing. And the people don't know what they're doing. Amen. Because you ain't going to be deceived. The elected will not be deceived. God's going to have something here where they won't be deceived. How many knows it? They'll know that they know that they know that they're all right. They'll know that they know that what they believe, it'll connect with the Word 100%. And they can see God making His Word flesh right among us. Hallelujah. Paul said, you're a written epistle, writ of all men. I believe I see the Word made flesh when I look at you. Amen. Because you believe the Word, you become the Word, you ate the Word. Amen. That Jesus was the Word made flesh. Paul said, you are written epistle. Said this Word's written not in fleshly tables of stone, but in heart. You're a book. He said, you're my epistle. You're my letter. You're my testimony. You're what I've produced. You're what this Word has produced. The Word has become flesh, and that's you. Hallelujah. The living Word of God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit come to quicken that Word and make it live. just as He did Jesus when the Spirit came upon Him. And He said, this day, someone quoted that last night, this day the Scripture is fulfilled. Hallelujah. And I believe we can say, this day this Scripture is fulfilled. There's been an authorizing voice. And I'm sorry that we ain't going to get to it tonight. It's in Revelation 10, 8 through 11. We'll get to it tomorrow night, Lord's willing. There's been an authorizing voice speak. Go, take the book out of the hand of Christ. First, you got no crisis yet. There was a precious brother in the land, one of the most precious. He's my hero. And God just took him off the scene last year. That was Brother Brown. He's my great hero as far as human realm. I know Christ's my hero. But there was another man named Raymond Jackson. Somebody over in Alpha said, how about this Raymond Jackson? I said, he's my hero. He draws out the map there, got all about the temple, do this, do that. Barbara said, I don't understand. I say, he's introducing the bride to the brethren so that the bride will know the brethren. She'll know the father. She'll know the bridegroom, but she'll know the brethren of the bridegroom. We know exactly where Israel fit and what's going to come in there and all about it because God's so gracious. He sent a man to introduce the bride to the brethren. And Brother Jackson says the seventh seal hadn't been opened, the thunder hadn't uttered, and the angel hadn't cried with a loud voice, and all that. Praise God for it. He had to put a block here. It wasn't time to cross over. Amen. The children of Israel tried to cross over beforehand. They couldn't do it. It had to be God's perfect time to cross over. God took him off the scene last year, and we grieved, and he did it well. And when the annals of church history is written, and what God has done, you'll find Brother Jackson's name right toward the top. Amen. And the works of this man, he labored, he did a work, he did a job, it's completed, and it's a wonderful work. Now the bride is thoroughly introduced to the brethren. Hallelujah. We're introduced to Christ, but then Christ said, I got some brethren. I want you to meet them. I want you to meet my brethren. Woo! Joseph went down. He had a bride, but he wanted to introduce his bride to the brethren. Wanted the brethren to meet the bride. Hallelujah. Those precious saints of God, the gospel's going to return back to those precious people in the form of two prophets prophesying. Amen. And calling out 144,000 there. And there's a message. You get the contender. You can still get them through the internet. And get the tapes. And you'll hear a man talking about Israel. You'll hear a man talking about the king on his throne. You'll hear a man talking about the 70th week of Daniel. How the temple's built and all what's going to happen. Amen. And you'll hear a man telling us they're going to take every foot of the land. You'll hear a man telling us that God's going to pretty soon do such a decisive victory in Israel, going to defeat the Muslim religion in Saudi Arabia, which is de-danned them. They'll come back and bring silver and gold and build that temple back because they're Abraham's son by his other wife. Amen. They're the brethren. Amen. The bride knows about it. But this United States of America is where the seven angels come down, where God sent the prophet, the Gentile message. And now, what are we going to do? Brother Brown's gone. He's not coming back. Brother Jackson's gone. He left it. That's the seventh seal hadn't opened. He left it. The mighty angel hadn't cried. He left it that way, and God planted that right there, and it's just perfectly the way God left it. And I raise my hand to the Almighty and say, I marvel at your ways, O God, because your ways are past finding out. They're wonderful and magnificent, too wonderful to be talked about. Amen. But here we are. It's made as clear as crystal to us. We got the brethren. Oh, we know the brethren. We know how they're going to fit. And we love our brethren. The bride included in the family, my friend. You cannot speak against Israel. Amen. And be pleasing to God. Amen. It's reached out. God sent a man, reached out, and included Israel into the family. They got their place. It'll be not the rapture, part of the bride. Amen. But Brother Brown said the brethren. The Jews are the brethren. The fifth seal. The souls under the altar and all that. I forgot to look what time started, but let me do this. Notice, no longer tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. They can't be deceived. Now watch verse 15. What all the preachers going to do, because they'll have no need to do differently. Now let me let that soak just a bit. This is what the preachers going to do, because they'll not have a need to do no different. We don't have to beat people over the head. We don't have to twist your arm. Any of these things like that. Amen. We don't have to twist your ears and wring your nose. We don't have to beat you over the head. No, you've come to a place in the body and you become part of the ministry, and there's a love that grows. What the preachers do, because they got no need to do differently. But speaking the truth in love. Listen. You'll have no need to do anything different. Because the body is gathered in around you. You love them. You're part of them. It's your desire for them to have the very best. And because you want them to have the very best, you give them your very best. I don't know how good a discernment everybody got in it, God, but I came, I gave you my very, very best. Brother Reed asked me last night, I said, Brother Ben, you feeling all right? You tired? You don't like that? Well, you know, sometimes we get a little warm. But I come to pour myself out. Not when I was over in Africa, I didn't leave a thing on the table. Barbara tell you, when we got on the plane, I mean, it was just nothing left. Day after day after day. 3-4 meetings a day sometimes. Eating, hardly eating anything, maybe some bread and water from going out there. Sam, you saw the dust and the wind. We out there in the dirt, but that was a few souls that said, will you come and help us? I poured everything out. I didn't hold back anything. And that's what I'm doing tonight. What I did last night. I'm not holding back. I'm pouring my very self out to you. And saying, let's don't let this opportunity slip. We can't push this back another year, another month. We can't push it back and say, it's going to be some days. We've said that for a long time. But now He's brought us to the land. But watch what the ministers do. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him, and that Him is Jesus, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplied. Oh, I love that. Every joint supplied. We draw strength from each other. I went in places to preach when I came out. I mean, you know, you just couldn't draw strength. But when I see a few smiles, a few amen, it makes it better, don't it, Brother Hibbert? Amen. It's not like you're fighting, beating to win. There's a congregation like a sponge just soaking it up. But hitherto, up to this point, the congregation couldn't be like a sponge and pour, soak up, because everything that was poured on that sponge wasn't good to soak up. That's why we're getting back to the purity of the Word and purity of some souls, that some preachers that's willing to give all. Don't hold back a thing. Amen. Paul said, you're my glory. You're my all these things, you know. When I leave here and get back over the room, there'll be nothing left in. I'll be totally poured out, emptied out. And gladly will I do it. Gladly will I give and spend and be spent, that the gospel might progress a little further. And I'm hoping tonight that we'll hear the authorizing voice of Almighty. See, there's a feeling, get within you. The Father says, go get the little book. And He walks up to you and says, give me the little... That's that authorizing voice. That you have to feel it. It has to be in the Spirit. It's not a natural thing. Just you'll know, hey, this is real. Amen. Let's get... From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, now watch, of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It gets to the place where it begins to edify one another. That's brothers and sisters, it's your duty and your job to edify other brothers and sisters in the body. You're to edify it. And a lot of people, hitherto we've waited for the preacher to come up and get us all stirred up and shook up. And that's good. And I'm glad to do it to the best of I let the Holy Spirit use. But somewhere you've got the brother and you two brethren got to edify each other. And you've got to edify. We've got to edify. We've got to draw from each other because we're one. The body edifies itself in love. And every member participates. Amen. And we're one. We've crossed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land. And this is like heaven to me. Amen. Amen. Some through the water. Some through the flood. Some through the fire. But all through the blood, He's gathered us in. He's brought us home. And our homeland is the Word. Paul said this in closing out. I'm not going to get the tent tonight. It'll be too much for. Paul said this. He said, you have come. And please believe it. You've come to heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to an innumerable host of angels. You've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Amen. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant. You've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. That veil, that wall is getting thinner and thinner and thinner between the living and the dead. God used Prophet William Branham to go over and he said, I look on the bed and there laid my body. So it seemed like I was about 18 foot away. And here I was with all the departed saints. He said, it's not a distant that way, it's dimensional. And Paul said, you've come to an innumerable host of angels. And Paul said, and the Word says another place, the angels of the Lord encamps around about them that fear God. If we can let our faith soar on the wings of the eagle, I like your picture, brother. God must have inspired you to do that. I love it. Amen. We can soar on the wings of faith and claim these things that God gives. How many believe we're back to the homeland? Amen. How many believe before He left, He left. He wrote down what it would be. Just exactly what it would be like. And it can't be another ministry. And since that you've had your other ministry, there's people can help. And there's preachers, maybe somebody that can help and teach, and something may not even be called to a sense of in a minor way, but they're all the time bringing them to where, amen, God is teaching His people. I love this little church here. Amen. I tell you, I just like the looks of it. I feel like the angel of the Lord here tonight. Brother Heavy, it's a hard road, starting a new church, starting up, and it gets hard, and get discouraged sometimes. It feels lonely. Amen. It feels very lonely. But sometimes you just have to hang in. Say, Lord, you just guide my steps. Here I am, Lord. Amen. Here I am. Live, die, sink, or swim. Lord, this is. I feel like this is what you want me to do. It's time for us to quit starving. Brother Heavy, you going to sing that song for us now? Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't get on the Revelation chapter 10. We'll do that tomorrow night. Come on, brother. Amen. God bless you.
been a just a sweetness in here tonight, I think. And the Spirit's been here. The Word of the Lord we've heard tonight. I pray you've been blessed, but I know I have been. And I guess to hear the rest of the story, we'll have to go to Brother Sam tomorrow night. So...